Jake looked at the picture accompanying this not exactly unexpected turn of events for a long time. Rough drawing, it might be, but it was still definitely a three-handkerchief job. Charlie looked old, beaten, and forgotten. Engineer Bob looked like he had lost his last friend, which, according to the story, he had. Jake could imagine children all over America blatting their heads off at this point, and it occurred to him that there were a lot of stories for kids with stuff like this in them, stuff that threw acid all over your emotions. Hansel and Gretel being turned out into the forest, Bambi's mother getting scragged by a hunter, the death of Old Yeller. It was easy to hurt little kids, easy to make them cry, and this seemed to bring out a strangely sadistic streak in many storytellers, including, it seemed, Beryl Evans. But Jake found he was not saddened by Charlie's relegation to the weedy wastelands at the outer edge of the Midworld train yards in St. Louis. Quite the opposite. Good, he thought. That's the place for him. That's the place, because he's dangerous. Let him rot there, and don't trust that tear in his eye. They say crocodiles cry, too. He read the rest rapidly. It had a happy ending, of course. Although it was undoubtedly that moment of despair on the edge of the train yards which children remembered long after the happy ending had slipped their minds. Mr. Martin, the president of the Midworld Railway Company, came to St. Louis to check on the operation. His plan was to ride the Burlington Zephyr to Topeka, where his daughter was giving her first piano recital that very afternoon. Only the Zephyr wouldn't start. There was water in the diesel fuel, it seemed. Were you the one who watered the diesel, Engineer Bob? Jake wondered. I bet it was, you sly dog, you. All the other trains were out on their runs. What to do? Someone tugged Mr. Martin's arm. It was Wiper Bob, only he no longer looked like an engine wiper. He had taken off his oil-stained dungarees and put on a clean pair of overalls. On his head was his old pillow-tick engineer's cap. Charlie is right over there on that siding, he said. Charlie will make the run to Topeka, Mr. Martin. Charlie will get you there in time for your daughter's piano recital. That old steamer, scoffed Mr. Briggs. Charlie would still be 50 miles out of Topeka at sundown. Charlie can do it, Engineer Bob insisted. Without a train to pull, I know he can. I've been cleaning his engine and his boiler in my spare time, you see. We'll give it a try, said Mr. Martin. I would be sorry to miss Susanna's first recital. Charlie was all ready to go. Engineer Bob had filled his tender with fresh coal, and the firebox was so hot its sides were red. He helped Mr. Martin up into the cab and backed Charlie off the rusty, forgotten siding and onto the main track for the first time in years. Then, as he engaged forward first, he pulled on the lanyard and Charlie gave his old brave cry. Woo! All over St. Louis, the children heard that cry and ran out into their yards to watch the rusty old steam loco pass. Look, they cried. It's Charlie! Charlie the Choo-Choo is back! Hurrah! They all waved, and as Charlie steamed out of town, gathering speed, he blew his own whistle, just as he had in the old days. Woo! Clickety-clack went Charlie's wheels. Chuffa-chuffa went the smoke from Charlie's stack. Brump-brump went the conveyor as it fed coal into the firebox. Talk about zip! Talk about zowie! Golly, gee, gosh, and wowie! Charlie had never gone so fast before. The countryside went whizzing by in a blur. They passed the cars on Route 41 as if they were standing still. Hop-ti-doodle! Cried Mr. Martin, waving his hat in the air. This is some locomotive, Bob. I don't know why we ever retired it. How do you keep the coal conveyor loaded at this speed?